hundreds of thousands of new jobs in the United States. Hello, do we have soccer wrappers around our heads? That's the exact same claim that Bill Clinton made for NAFTA, which siphoned hundreds of thousands of jobs and entire industries out of the U.S. By the way, who are the members of this coalition? Every progressive group I know of is adamantly against the TPP, and no progressive has stepped forward to claim ownership of this PR push for corporatizing the people's democratic rights. Is there a coalition? Who's in it? Who funds it? This is Jim Hightower saying, nobody's answering because nobody's there. The coalition is a fraud, just like TPP. For a real coalition of progressives who are standing tall against the whole fraud, go to StopFastTrack.com.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I am Tammy, and you are listening to Love in the 21st Century, joined by
Julian
and Emily Rose
and Bill.
Yeah, sitting in again tonight, Guillermo.
Yes, thanks, Guillermo. We like him, so we're keeping him around. And yeah, we're talking about self-love. We have transgressed the topic of intimate relationships, and we are moving into a more consistent relationship, the one you have with yourself.
Unavoidable consistent relationship.
I would say the fortunate relationship you get to have with yourself. But first, we're going to bring this intention in and what we're going to be talking about with the song. So, Emily, you want to intro that song?
Oh, yeah, sure. This is Ayla Nerio, Oh Love, on her album Be Held, and I love Ayla.
Apart so that we can see ourselves from the inside out. Yes, indeed, that is sometimes what happens. And
it's a good transition from relationship, romantic relationships.
Yeah, talking about self-love, you know, and self-love is an important component that we are hopefully on a consistent basis working at. And so tonight we're going to be talking about, you know, all of our definitions of what self-love is, and then also bringing in a concept to help people draw a bigger to create a roadmap to how to self-love in action. Because there's you can say you love yourself, but there's also steps to implementing that in your life. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and give us kind of an overview of what we're going to be talking about for the next 5 to 6 weeks as we cover this topic of you. So let's get started. Anybody want to try to jump in with their definition of what self-love is?
I would say that self-love is a great place to start. It's kind of interesting. We started with 6 weeks of talking about intimate love when maybe, you know, it could be argued it should have been the reverse, that we start with talk of self-love. You know, you can't love yourself until you know yourself. And the truth is it's a left foot, right foot kind of situation. You know, as you learn about yourself, as you discover yourself, you know, to love and understand yourself, which doesn't mean big ego. You know, people say, oh, that person really loves themselves, as it's a negative thing. And maybe it can be if it's done too much, but truly loving yourself includes acknowledging, you know, your strengths and weaknesses, where you got to work from, maybe things about yourself you're not necessarily proud of, but you want to work on, you know, because you love yourself and you believe yourself to be capable of better.
Absolutely.
So I would say, you know, the Hindu term is puja, to treat your body well. And I think that's really important. You know, your body is your temple. It is your vehicle. It's the only thing that's yours. And even that's not entirely true. So you got to respect it.
I do want to mention for those listening that this is a call-in radio show. So if you have something to share about your self-love, your opinion of self-love, and your definition of self-love, our number is 895-1114, and you can give us a call. We would love to hear from you. And I do want to also mention, Julian, it was because it was Valentine's Day. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we did 6 weeks of romantic love, so because we knew people had it on their minds.
And so before we changed that, everything we did, for a Hallmark holiday.
Well, we did 6 weeks of philanthropy around the holidays, you know. So
that's true. I'm not arguing or complaining at all. We're just getting to the root of it now. That's the thing. We started from the outside.
We should have started.
We're going to the inside.
Right. Yes.
Now we actually have a self-actualization coach with us in studio. So what's your definition of self-love, Emily?
Well, I think you pretty much nailed it. My languaging might be a little different, but otherwise the concept is very similar. And it's, and of course, I'm sure, like, you know, it's flexible and I will forever be adding to it. But basically, from my experience and, you know, learning how to love the shadow side of yourself as well as the light side. So many of us walk around with, you know, our light side showing. We like to show our joy and our beauty and things like that. We like to be recognized for that. But when it comes to sort of the dark side of ourselves, I mean, there's not only do we sort of deny what we know about, but we actually don't know about a lot of the darkness that we hold. And part of getting to know the self is getting to know that shadow self as well, and then learning to accept it. So self-love and self-acceptance to me go hand in hand. And that's, you know, ultimately important. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let's pass it along. Guillermo, give us some wise
words. If you're in the
words.
Studio, well, you have to, you know, be a part of the...
I feel like the wise old man here. At least a third of that was true. yeah, I mean, it's a long process, you know, actually learning to love oneself. And I think the older you get a little more calm or a little more, you know, at peace with yourself. Actually, I've started this year of kind of going, I just want to work on things that bring joy to myself. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of focusing on that gives you that inward, you know, look of kind of going, hey, what brings me joy? What do I need to do? And as you two had mentioned, what you need to work on. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Tammy?
It's my turn. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with the self-acceptance comment that it's important that we learn to look at the things that we don't like about ourselves, or the things that we try to maybe cover with a facade, in order to truly know ourselves, in order to truly be able to show up for ourselves as well as for anybody else, because eventually those things start to come out regardless. I think that I like to focus, as in most things in my life, in action and doing things. And so when I talk about self-love, what's been really important in just in my life in the last few years dramatically is, how do I love myself in action? How do I show myself that I'm showing up for myself? And, you know, it started a while ago with my last, like, long-term employment, where I, you know, was realizing that I was doing things that I didn't that neglected myself. And so my philosophy has formulated around Ken Wilber, who is a modern philosopher, psychologist, who helped to create the California Institute of Integral Studies. And essentially, for basic explanation, there's five main areas of ourself that need to be focused on in a conscious, active way, doing something in order to live a more fully functioning life, in order to be able to show up for yourself and show up for other people. And those five aspects are the physical, the mental, the social, the emotional, and the spiritual. And it doesn't, in my practice, you know, I have particular things that I do in each one of those to make sure that I'm doing something for myself. But there's also, you know, there's not one way to do it. Everybody has their own way of physically taking care of themselves. So if that's physically, you know, having a physically taxing job, like something that actually makes your body work, and eating well, or if that's, you know, bike riding or doing yoga, you know, there's lots of different things that you can do. The point is that doing something, like, you know, you could be the smartest, spiritual, most spiritual, awakened individual, but if you're eating from McDonald's and you're sitting in front of your TV all day, then it doesn't matter that you're, you know, your body is still decaying and your mind is still decaying, because you're putting things in there that are going to conflict with your all the other amazing things that you're doing. So for me, that's what self-love is about. Self-love is about showing up for yourself and really being your own cheerleader and figuring out a way to put yourself first. I feel like I was definitely raised in a home of service. Like, I was raised in a way that showed that helping others was the priority, and that's important. I've done a lot of work in social work, and I'm very dedicated to the cause, as anybody that knows me. However, my personal choice these days is to learn to show people how to put themselves first, how to take care of themselves, and then take care of other people. Because as we all know, like, once you love yourself, once you're taking care of yourself better, then you can show up from others.
Yeah, you actually, I had something I wanted to bring up, because,
Yay. Yeah,
as a self-actualization coach, you know, this is what I do as well. As I, you know, in my journey, I also have learned the importance of putting oneself first. And I have actually had some comments on my work here and there where people say that that's selfish. And so I just wanted to bring that up as a topic of conversation here, mm-hmm. because, you know, so what would you say? I mean, you kind of already said it, but, you know, what would you say to somebody who, I'm sort of playing devil's advocate here, right. You know, said something like, or Julian?
Well, I, for one,
I have
don't
a good
think,
story, so.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being selfish.
What?
I think you're selfish, so, Julian.
Yeah.
I'm saying that.
Jeez, Julian.
That's so
selfish
that's so
of
sweet.
You.
That's so sweet. The thing is, where the disconnect comes is when you're not being honest with how selfish you are. As in, for instance, maybe we know some people that became parents that maybe they weren't really, you know, maybe they didn't have the selflessness necessary to be a good parent, you know.
Or they had a kid for selfish reasons.
Or they had a kid for selfish reasons, you know.
I think, but I would argue that you can't actually be selfless until you first know yourself well enough to understand what being truly selfish or selfless is.
Exactly.
Right?
And well, I think that would be to say that there's no true altruism. Like, people would say that there's nobody ever does anything for nothing, because you get a good feeling from doing that, and so therefore, mm-hmm. you know, the whole idea of being, you know, selfless.
Right.
And
well, it depends on where it's coming from. So a lot of people, when they give, they're giving from a place of expecting something in return. Mm-hmm. And so that's not really truly giving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, altruism, when you don't have when one doesn't, you know, give in that altruistic way from a pretty pure place, you know, having accepted their own levels of self-need, I don't mm-hmm. know, you know, mm-hmm. self self-love and selfishness and selflessness, mm-hmm. then, you know, yeah, it can be.
It's a matter of degree. I think what happens is, you know, as you develop as an individual and learn your boundaries and, you know, what you need in your life to feel healthy and motivated, so long as you're not harming those around you by your self-discovery, that's really where it gets to be. That's where selfish gets the negative connotation, you know, is when that person is so selfish that they didn't do this, or they hurt this person, or they did that. And it's like, you can be selfish, but you know, come into a situation knowing how much you have, how much energy you have to devote to something, and being honest about that at the forefront. I mean, that's huge.
And then keeping your boundaries around that.
Boundaries.
Boundaries.
You're
going to
have an episode on boundaries. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking about self-love. Julian, Emily Rose, Guillermo, and myself. And we are a call-in radio show. So if you have something you want to share, 895-1114. And yeah, I wanted to talk about selfishness versus, you know, just being, you know, practicing self-love. I think it depends on your motivation. I think, like, what is your motivation behind your selfish act? Is it, like, you know, is it addressing a need of yours, or is it just because you don't want to show up for somebody else?
Right.
Yeah. But shouldn't it be okay if you don't want to show up for somebody else?
It should totally be okay. But if you're in a partnership, or if you're in a, like, you know, in a, even like brother, you know, like brother-sister relationship, or
business relationship.
Yeah. Like, there's a certain level of agreement that you make, like, at some level.
Boundaries.
You know? Yeah. Defining the relationship. And so if, you know, what your motivation is makes a big difference in terms of, like, being selfish. Because, yeah, if you are, say, working on a project and all of a sudden you're like, you know, I decided I wanted to go to this amazing experience and not come to this volunteer meeting instead. It's like, well, you're kind of being selfish because your commitment was to this. And so that, I think that's when it becomes like a question of self-love over, and yeah, is it still okay? Absolutely. I mean, it's all perspective and, you know, analysis from our end. If we don't know whether or not we're not telling people, like, we're defining for you, like, how to tell your partner or your boss, like, just practicing self-love, but we're kind of just playing with the ideas. Like, if in your mind you feel like you're deliberately putting, you know, deliberately in a negative way, putting yourself forward, then it's probably a good time to look at it and look at that, maybe that shadow side of that aspect. Like, are you doing it to be in the superior place, or are you just doing it to take care of yourself?
You know, and there's also that phrase, the good deed for the day, you know, like, the thing is, you be selfish, be a little self-centered at times, but be sure to pepper that with selflessness, even when you're processing your thing. Still do, you know, your thing. When you see an opportunity to help somebody, do it because they need that help, you know?
Well, and think about how exhausting it is to intentionally be selfless all the time. So I'm actually thinking of someone in particular that commented on one of my posts about how it's really selfish, you know, to take care of yourself first. And I know that this, you know, young lady just exited a relationship, and you know, there's a point in your, I think, in everyone's self-growth and development when you realize the need to care for yourself first. And maybe prior to that, at whatever age, there is the tendency to give, and to give to the point of exhaustion, and especially in romantic relationships, but also in business or in, you know, it's what burnout is all about. So, when someone says to me that they see this self-care as selfish, I disagree with the way that they're using the word selfish, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, the situation comes to mind that there's a reason, like when you fly airplanes, that they tell you to put your oxygen mask on first. Right? You know, and I've been sharing this story with other friends in the comparison of, like, a burning building. You know, like, until you take care of and address your needs first, you can't really do anything for anybody else. Mm-hmm. So often, you know, in society and in relationships, maybe because of, like, obligation or self-imposed feelings of guilt, we overtax ourselves. We put ourselves out there in the benefit in the benefit, what we think is the benefit. I'm doing like quotes in the air. You guys can't see that. Lots of quotes in the air. You know, we for those other people. But what's really interesting, you know, often is that if we just took the time to take care of ourselves and the things that we need, then it, you know, one may model for the person that we, you know, that we're with, the person that we are, you know, our family member or, you know, our coworkers, that, you know, that it's okay to put yourself first. And I think that there is a tactful way to put yourself mm-hmm, first, sure. And then there is a not so tactful way to put yourself first.
Well, that again goes to the just, you know, not to, you know, do your best not to offend those around you with your selfishness. You know, that's I mean, 4 out of 5 or even more major religions, you know, encourage you to just, so long as it's not hurting those around you, it's fine, you know. And the platinum rule is know thyself, flat out. You know, you can't share a degree of understanding about another person's circumstance until you've come to some understandings within yourself first. As I was saying before we got on air, my favorite RuPaul quote of all time. She ended every one of her episodes with, remember, ladies, love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? And that is the fact. You learn it through practice. And practicing on yourself, that's before you turn that love or that selflessness to the people around you, that's what...
Yeah, because actually being selfless when you still don't know yourself well enough is actually selfish.
Right.
Ultimately, because you then impose how you think something should be done or what you think this person might need onto them, and then you go and you try to do things for them, and it actually ends up hurting relationships and things. Looks like we have a caller coming in here.
What?
And I'm really hoping that they have some thoughts on selfishness.
Hello there. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Awesome. We can hear you. So you want to go ahead and maybe introduce yourself, let us know where you're calling from, and share your words of wisdom.
Yeah. My name's Emily, and I'm calling from Yankee Hill. Can you guys hear me okay?
I can.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I love this topic, and I just wanted to add, to me, self-love has a lot to do with valuing myself and having self-worth. And so I guess what I wanted to say was having a practice of forgiving myself for things that I might make a mistake on throughout my life, my week, my day, I find very powerful. And so I just wanted to add that in as a thought of how we can forgive ourselves just for stuff that we do in order to create that love. Because typically we don't truly love people that we haven't forgiven for something.
Mm-hmm. Well stated. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, self-forgiveness, very important.
Yeah, I've certainly had the sensation in my own life where I see somebody doing something and maybe the gut reaction is to be like, oh, that's bad. But then I think back on the things I've done.
Which is a long list.
It's a long list. And go, well, you know, everybody's growing. Maybe yes. Not. It's not that big a deal. And that forgiveness comes a lot more easily for others when you've begun to forgive yourself.
Yeah, actually, I would say that forgiving the self is the pathway to forgiving others. And there's a ancient Hawaiian practice called Ho'oponopono, and that is it's a forgiveness prayer. And it is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I forgive you, I forgive myself, thank you, I love you. And that prayer has psychic like healing capabilities, where you work on this forgiveness with someone in mind, and although you're working within your own psyche, it actually is helping to heal theirs as well. On a whole different plane.
Right. And I think something that it brings up for me, Emily, that you're with the self-forgiveness is self-honesty. And so, you know, giving yourself the opportunity to forgive yourself, I feel like you're giving yourself an opportunity to be more honest with yourself. Oftentimes, when we're not really wanting to forgive things, it's not that we're wanting to honestly look at maybe our involvement in things or, or our mistakes. And so we kind of want to just like tread on and pretend like those things don't exist. So yeah, self-forgiveness, self-honesty, they go really well together. Thank you so much for calling, Emily. I don't think she's there anymore.
She couldn't get a word in edgewise. That's the thing. Well, before we get to our outro song, Guillermo, do you want to cap it off with some perspective here?
Well, I'll try. I mean, it's really been cool listening to you folks. I think one thing that I would add is you really never know the battles that people are facing. Mm-hmm. And one of the four agreements is always do the best you can. So I think, you know, for self-reliance and selfless, I mean, you really got to understand what your battles are and what your best foot forward is going to be. And you know, be kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what I would add to that.
Thank you, Guillermo. Guillermo and I'd like to real quick plug Emily and her self-actualization, self-coaching.
Self-acceptance, that's self-love.
All the self stuff at EmilyRoseCoaching.com.
Thanks for
being a guest.
Yes, we love having Emily on. And if you don't know the book that Guillermo is referencing, The Four Agreements, it's definitely a good book to check out in talking about self-love and, you know, how to be good to yourself, how to be good to others. And stay tuned for the weeks coming up. We're going to be talking more in depth about those five different areas, the social, emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual aspects of ourselves, and giving you some creative ideas of how you can start to put yourself first. Before we start this song here by Miss Sasha Rose Love, who is a local here in Chico with a song entitled Self-Love, I just want to mention that I had seen something online about doing a 40-day challenge of self-love. So if you want to start today, I think I'm going to start today on some sort of practice that helps you to remember to put yourself first. Please do that and call in and let us know what your practice is. It could be, you know, something about forgiveness. It could be something about being honest. We're not picky.
I have a practice.
Okay.
That I could totally recommend. And it would be to for 7 days, for the next 7 days until you listen to our show again. Okay. Wake up in the morning and for about 15 minutes, spend some time or before you go to bed at night, get naked in bed by yourself, if possible.
Woo, woo, woo.
Start
by yourself, she said.
By yourself. or you know, just spend some alone time and naked in bed. The point is to be alone. Start with your toes and hold your toes with both your feet and tell them how much you love them. These cute little toes. Oh my gosh, look at that little freckle. I love you so much. And look at all that you do for me. I love you so much, toes. And then move to your foot and be like, oh, foot, look at all the weight you carry. And move to your heel and move to your ankle and take 15 minutes holding and touching and literally out loud telling your body how much you love it. And that saying that out loud, it just activates all of your cells and you start to really truly see the transformation of self-love. So for 7 days, do that for 15 minutes, either in the morning or in the evening, naked in bed, and watch yourself shift.
All right, there's the challenge. Or, you know,
there's other
or your own, but that's a pretty good one. So thank you for tuning in. We're gonna go right into Miss Sasha's beautiful voice.